This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along. We've brought the mic to Agape in Bloomsburg today, and we haven't been here in a couple of years, and it always amazes me what has changed and grown or shrunk in some cases, which we're going to talk about that today a bit to put out a request for some help here as well. But Eileen Chapman is with me. She is the executive director, and Carla Alexander, the general manager, which I have just learned will be changing shortly as Eileen becomes retired, and Carla will become the executive director. So a perfect timing for our program today, an update on all sorts of things. That being the first, how long has your retirement been coming, or is it planned it ahead?
Yeah, we've been in transition for at least 6 months or so, trying to figure out who's going to fill in other places, offices and that kind of thing. And so she has newer ideas than I have, and we've been talking about that, and so it's going to be a smooth transition, and I have full faith and confidence in her, and she's a little bit more modern than I am and has more ideas and more technologically advanced than I am.
The pressure's on. You got to have lots of ideas. Now, you were the founder of this, 15 years ago?
15 years ago.
Wow. Tell me, just give me that brief history for folks that aren't familiar with it.
Well, we founded it in 2008 and opened our doors in 2009 on 7th Street, a 16,000 square foot building. And we started with some furniture, handing out furniture and doing a little bit of financial assistance, and we outgrew that building, and we found this building. One of our board members takes his morning walk, and he found this for sale, and we looked at it, and we started a capital campaign, and it's 100,000 square feet, plus we have two buildings attached to it, and it was $2.5 million. And the owner, when he found out what we were going to do, reduced it to $1.75 million. We had about $250,000 saved up. And then we started a capital campaign and put in a grant for raising the rest of the money. And the owner was very patient with us. We had put in a grant for $250,000 with this capital campaign consultant, and I said it was too much, it needed to be reduced because this company had helped us, but not that much. And he says, no, we're going to put it in, and we put it in on a Friday, and on Tuesday I get a call from the executive director of that company's foundation. He says, why don't we just buy the building for you? So we have moved in 2022. And have been here ever since. We've had some renovation, and due to the capital campaign and donations and grants, we're pretty well set now as to what we can do. It's 100,000 square feet. We have one section that we're sort of reserving for food, and the other section is for in-kind donations like clothing and large and small appliances, beds, mattresses, furniture. And basically, we can outfit an apartment for somebody maybe who can't afford it. They've just gotten their apartment, and we can help them with security deposits under our financial program. But we can furnish them for the most part, and particularly fire victims who lose everything. We can really supply them for a new apartment and that kind of thing. We have a Happy Tales program, which is cat and dog food that we distribute. We have WIN, which is Women in Need, the women's health products. We have flood buckets and cleaning buckets.
Has that expanded as you went from the beginning, and you kept adding all the time?
Right. What we do, basically, WIN somewhat started it. We found out that from a school teacher at Central that they were having problems with young girls who needed the feminine hygiene projects and couldn't afford them, so they missed school. So we decided that's a gap that needed to be filled so they didn't fall through the crack, our motto. So we looked into it, and we now have a feminine hygiene product called WIN, and program called WIN, and we're in about 700 clients, and school absenteeism has decreased substantially because of that. And we not only serve the youngster, but also the women and her family. We also hand it out once a month in Fresh Express, our food giveaway program. And we also give away Happy Tails cat and dog food during a week of Fresh Express. And it doesn't feed them all. Now, the WIN program supplies once a month, but the pet products, that supplements what they can buy. It doesn't provide everything.
If I can go to Carla for a moment and ask you, since you'll be at the helm shortly, how do you explain this place to people? I think that falling through the cracks is a good way to put it simply. But, you know, just in a nutshell, how do you explain Agape is?
Agape is taking care of our community, not just the low income. It's a single mom who just doesn't, who makes enough to take care of her kids but can't get help elsewhere. It's the middle-class family that just makes a little bit too much to get help elsewhere. It's the fire victim that's starting over. It's the flood victim. It's the homeless clients that are starting over. It's the people that literally can't get help elsewhere. And what we're trying to do now is not be on an island, that it's just about Agape helping. It's Agape working with other agencies like CSO and Gatehouse and Good Sam and DIG, and coming together hand in hand and sitting around the table and saying, what can we do together? Because as we unify all of our strengths as nonprofits, how can we serve more clients and filling in the gaps? So what are our strengths to bring to the community and not duplicate, so we're not all doing the same thing, but bring our strengths together to serve more people so that we can fill in the cracks together and find where the services are still needing, like affordable housing.
It has grown immensely in 15 years. Nobody would have dreamed it would go this far. And I think the key to that is we believe that God wants this. We believe we're serving God. We believe that whatever we need, He will supply, maybe not in our time, but in His time, so we have to be patient. And sometimes it doesn't happen because He doesn't want it to happen. And most of the things that we have, we've thought about and we've sort of talked about it, and then there's that certain time when, okay, let's launch and we can do it. And he's just been very, very faithful to us. And I think that's part of the reason we've been so successful, if not the only reason we've been successful. People have been very generous with their in-kind items of donating furniture and appliances and all sorts of children's equipment, clothing. We are, by the way, probably the most well-dressed society in the world. I mean, the clothing is just, it just comes in and in. We get clothing that still has the tags on them. It's almost ridiculous, but it certainly helps our clients because they can come in and get basically new clothing. Some people will bring in clothing and it's not suitable. So we have a place in Milton, we can send that and they recycle it into something else, some other materials. We also share with Community Aid down in Shamokin Dam. We just have a lot of clothes. Our biggest desire or our biggest need in clothing is the larger sizes, the 2Xs, the 3Xs, the 5Xs, and particularly during the winter with jackets. Children's clothes go quickly, so we need those. But you can pretty much find what you need, I think, and it's pretty much of a store. It's pretty well lined up, much larger than what we had at 7th Street.
And this went from you existed to you were in the forefront after the flooding in 2011.
You know, Joseph's story about his brothers selling him into slavery, and he becomes the head of Egypt. I mean, that's our story, because we were about to close and the flood came, and that made us. The Columbia County Commissioners said that, announced unbeknownst to me at a press conference that Agape was going to be the flood relief center for Columbia County. And the money started to pour in. I think we had something like $700,000 pouring in from around the country. We had over 5,000 volunteers down on West Main Street and around Espy and down to help people get back in. And that's what made us. And that was a tragedy, but God made it a good thing. And that's where we started with our reputation, and we've tried to keep that up. And I think people know that when they come here, we'll help them as much as we can. Now, we have abusers, and we're very, very strict on abusers, particularly those who need financial assistance. We made a rule a couple of years ago: if you're not working and you're able-bodied, we can't help you. You have to work. The Bible says, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. And it says that in a couple of different places. And we just really reinforce that. If they're disabled, we go out of our way to help them. If they're elderly, we go out of their way. And one of the things that we keep emphasizing to the elderly, they're living on a very limited income with Social Security. Most of them don't have anything extra than what their Social Security is, and it's not very much. It may be something like $900 or $1,000 a month. You almost can't live on that, particularly if your rent is $800 and $900. So we can supplement them somehow if necessary, and if they have an unforeseen circumstance come up and that just throws them off from paying rent or whatever, we can help with that. It's a ministry that hopefully shows God's compassion. Doesn't mean that we're always giving out to people who don't deserve it, shall we say? And that is a judgmental call, but it's based on biblical principles.
And you mentioned food. Let me come back to Carla. That, as I mentioned at the beginning, some things shrink, and that's one of them is the incoming food. Is that probably your biggest concern right now, that you just don't have what you used to have? Is that the obviously the price of groceries is through the roof?
Yeah, with the price of everything, and the donations are changing. So a lot of resources we had for donating food have changed. So we've looked for different granting sources to where programs were previously free to get food to us. Like, for example, our Fresh Express, we've looked for grants to actually purchase food. And so we're having to change our Fresh Express programs coming in September, which was a hard choice for us, because this is something we've seen an increase in the need, almost doubled in the last year. So we know the need is still there. We know the people need their food. This is definitely insecurity when you know how much it costs to go to the grocery store yourself and come out with very little. And we can't provide as much as we previously did. We're so thankful to Brian Campbell Farms in Central Pennsylvania for what they're still able to give, as well as our local retail donors and those churches and stuff that still donate, that just, you know, just thinking in the store, if you're there picking up a box of macaroni and cheese on sale and you think, hey, I could get an extra box and donate it to Agape, how much further that would go here? Because we were previously serving 300 families every single week, and now we're seeing 700. That's just a huge increase, but the food has literally been cut in half. So we're looking for other income sources to supplement what was previously to us a free program to provide food for the community.
Other areas that are tough right now, or are you adapting?
Summer is generally when we get most of the in-kind donations, like furniture, because that's when people seem to move or whatever. There's a variety of things that are in need. We take in handicapped equipment, but most of that we can't use here. We have a source and partner with Hope Center, and we take it up there. And then if we need something that we sent up there, we can go get it and get it for the client, because we just, it take, hospital beds take a lot of space despite the space we have. So we may keep one bed just in case. We'll have some wheelchairs and canes and the shower stools that go in, but not a whole lot of it, because it does take up, it's awkward to take up space. Same way with baby equipment. We'll have a carriage or so and some little jumper things, you know, but we have other places that we can get that source. Okay. So what we've done is, since moving here, we try to retain the space, but we also are partnering, I think, with more people so that we don't duplicate. For instance, Diggs up in Milton, we partner with them. They give furniture away. When they run out or they don't need what they have, we just trade back and forth. It saves travel for them, it saves and their clients, and it saves to, you know, us from having to deliver up there. We have expanded into Northumberland County. We're just doing that because Northumberland needs help, and we're hoping that we can be a better service to them as well.
Okay, but at this point, it's what's your Columbia, entire coverage?
Columbia and Montour County. We serve a little bit of Luzerne County, like Nescopeck, and we also serve some of Northumberland with Riverside. But we've gone as far as Mount Carmel and Shamokin.
Okay.
So anybody that needs something and is desperate, particularly if they're fire victims, all they have to do is come and we can help.
Okay. But again, you're working with the other organizations.
Yes.
How direct is that? Is that kind of a formal sit-down, kind of a summit of nonprofits? You know, just how does that look?
So right now, it depends on the nonprofit. We are working with the United Ways to form a consortium, if you will, of, because there are a lot of human services nonprofits around here, to get everybody to the table. Because even in the five county areas that cover Snyder, Union, Northumberland, Columbia, and Montour, there are several that do similar things, and some of us don't even know what the other one's doing. So to kind of come to the table to say, hey, what are you doing? What am I doing? How do we take clients in? How can I refer somebody to you? How can you refer somebody to me? So to get the information to the table and then figure out how we can help each other. And then there are other organizations that we have official MOUs with. So it's a little bit more than a phone call or a handshake. And we've even started some collaborative grants. So a lot of the larger organizations that are donors love to see partner agencies working together. So we're very excited about one that we are working on right now, that literally the clients will work with the strengths of each organization to get through, to get to self-sufficiency. And ultimately, that's, I think, every nonprofit's goal.
Do you work with churches to say, hey, can you collect from your people and, you know, bring it in at once, kind of to keep everybody in mind of it?
Yes. So we do. It, even with our food, we have a monthly product list that we send out to our churches and our ministerium that says, hey, it's pasta month. Hey, it's pasta sauce month. Makes it simple to have one thing instead of, hey, just bring a non-perishable item. And then we also send it out to schools that want to do drives. And then it also makes it easy to pick things, even diapers, clothing, coats, of those things. Anytime a group reaches out and asks for something specific, the university does a great job at Christmas time about doing toy drives. So we have specific lists together. And again, we'll get with other nonprofits to see what they have and what their needs are as well.
It's been good to have you both on the program today. It's been nice working with you over the years, Eileen, with that, how many interviews we've done.
Yes.
But
can I emphasize?
Yes, final thoughts.
We could not operate without volunteers. I think last month we had 27,000 hours of volunteer work. And we have a staff of 13. They could not, I mean, they're passionate workers. They don't get paid a whole lot. But the volunteers come, rain, shine, snow, or whatever, and they're here cold. They're here on Thursdays for fresh giveaway when it's stinking hot, when it's snowing, or whatever. And there's usually around 40 to 50 every Thursday that are here, let alone those who come in during the week for just maybe an hour or 2 hours. So this is a community organization or ministry where people come, they want to serve. They don't know what they can do, but they can come in and they can pack bags for the kids' backpack programs. They can sweep the floors. They can cook for us for the meal that we have, a daily bread meal on Tuesdays. They come in and cook for us. They cook for the volunteers for Fresh Express. It's about 50, 70 people that they come in and help cook for. So it's a community effort, and we're just very appreciative for the volunteers as well.
Nice to have that variety of things to do. I always feel like I don't have any skills, but I can pack a backpack. I can sweep a floor. Exactly. Anybody can. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any final thoughts as you are preparing to take the helm here, Carla?
I'm just so grateful for this opportunity, and not just for Agape, for this area, as I am a transplant by family origin, but to step into these very large shoes, but not just to be able to serve in this ministry in town, but to follow a family legacy left behind by my parents that was created. And it was so awesome 15 years ago to watch it from his birth to where it is today, to bring it to wherever God is leading us in the next 15 years.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.